Good afternoon. It's always a challenge to, when you know you have a part in the service, to leave, not eat quite as much food so you can do your part without having to. Once again, very good food. We've always known that. It's a blessing to be here with you. We'll have three songs and then stand for a prayer. I guess Jack has a quiz. They'll all be out of the Red Book. It's 361.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I had no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be left home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know you'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't be left home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend but you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be left home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The arms of sweetest priest drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
357. 357.
And so we read a place that's called heaven. It's made from the pure and the free. These truths are worthy as given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and life there are flowing, and all the dream may be free. Rich hues of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home, I'm happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there on beautiful sea. The song of redemption is ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home, the happy and free. The haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
338. 338.
Oh.
Father, we come to you in prayer thanking you for this day that we have received, that we can gather to lift one another up, to sing praises to you, to remember the sacrifice of your Son and our Savior. Give us time to fellowship and enjoy one another's company. We ask you to be with us as we go through the remainder of this time, that our songs of praise will gladden your heart, that our words of instruction from your Bible, from your gift to us, will be easy to understand, that we can apply it to our lives, that we can live closer to that example you have given us. Help us that we can always follow after you and be messengers of your word to the world. Father, there are many that are sick, that are in need of your healing hand. We ask you to return them to the health they desire. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Father, to you we give all honor and praise. We know that all things will be done according to your will and not ours, that you know all far more than we ever can imagine. Father, in this prayer we offer to you in your Son's name. Amen.
Mark your books for the invitation song at number 606. You can go to number 371. 371. One of these days, no matter how long we've been here, we all get to sing together up there. 371.
So, what a song of delight in a city so bright, trapped beneath heaven's fair dome. Hell ransomed the rage, every song's in his praise, when all God's singers give home. When all God's singers give home, when every sorrow will cure, every no place like home. When all of God's singers give home. Every sing here on earth, song, sadness, or mirth, is a foretaste of rapture to come. Our joy can compare with the glory of fear. When all of God's singers give home. When all of God's singers give home. When every sorrow will kill. There we know. Every heart will be light, and his face will be bright, when all God's singers give home. When all God's singers give home, when every sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home, when all God's singers give home.
I think it's my turn. Certainly, good to be back here anytime. The place is still the same, except for one of the steps is now missing out in front. So it's amazing how your body remembers things from 20 years ago. Every time I go out that door, I want to step down one. Meanwhile, I can't remember anything else. But seems as though that's the way the aging process goes. So, what I'd like to talk about this morning, a couple of comments to start, and the Bible is such an amazing thing, I appreciate it more and more the farther along I get, in that it seems to be able to, there's the ability of the Bible to explain things to someone that's new, a new convert, to what they need to do, to someone that's more experienced, and and for the over the all the years that it's written to cover, it certainly puts you in awe as you look at how it's put together, knowing though the Father is the one that inspired and wrote it all for us. One of the interesting things is how parables help explain things that we just couldn't really comprehend, because the kingdom of God and these dimensions that we just don't live in every day are kind of hard to comprehend. So Jesus tells us many times in parables. It's like this. Oh, okay. Well, I kind of see how that works. And then, like, you know, who's your neighbor? And then they tells a story about really explaining how we're to interact with people that we don't know. Another way thing that the Bible uses, though, besides parables, is what I would classify as an analogy. One analogy that there's lots of sermons been given on is that's of the how the body works, how the church works as a body, how we have hands and we have feet. And you need all of these pieces, eyes and a head and all that, so that you all work together really well. What I'd like to look at briefly this morning, though, is another analogy that's kind of similar to that. And we're going to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, and starting in verse 17. 17 through 22 kind of covers the core of this analogy, but this analogy is brought up at other places in Scripture. Ephesians 2, 17 through 22. So he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. We have one Spirit that links us all together, just as in the body, we were one body. But here is a different analogy to that. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's another way to describe the church, isn't it? And let's take a look at the pieces of how this fits together. We start this building with a cornerstone. Now, I've been to Europe one time, and when you go to Europe, everything over there is old, and especially compared to here in the United States. You know, if something's 100 years or 150 years old here, it's old. The stuff over there is really old. If it's 150 years old, it's pretty new. But the architecture and the way they were able to build buildings back then, and even you go back and see things in certain parts over there, like in Rome, that are literally thousands, over 1,000 years old, they're built on this principle. They got a cornerstone that was built, and then they could do remarkable structures with just some very basic things. You know, so even back then, this is the way things were built. So we're using this analogy. We got the cornerstone that's worked on to get it perfect, because the whole building is going to be built from this one cornerstone. And after that cornerstone is laid, then there still needs to be a foundation for wherever there's going to be walls built. So from this cornerstone, now we have a nice square coming out. And if those first two footings are square, it's kind of easy to join them up with one measurement. So you have a nice square foundation on which to build. Once that foundation is there and it's square, then we can start going up. And as long as you keep those walls right over that foundation, you're going to end up with a structure that's going to last for years and years. So we have Christ as the cornerstone, and we have the apostles and the prophets. And together, they gave us this. They gave us this. The perfection of which we can see and how it works. So let's first of all look at this foundation has been laid for us in the Bible. We believe it, and that's our guide. Then we've got our foundation. But then we have to start building a building. But one of the problems here is the blocks that we're going to build this building out of, those blocks are us, and we're not so good. We all don't fit together just perfectly. We're not perfect. The object of the building, those buildings back then, wasn't to get a whole bunch of perfect blocks and you just start stacking them up and everything is fine. So I'm going to introduce this concept called the mortar that's used to actually line things up. We'll call this kind of the mortar of love. Okay? So if you go with that concept, we'll go to Romans, the 15th chapter, and verses 1 through 7. And I'll read those. We can kind of see how this building is put together. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult, you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. This is the NIV version, in case some of you were had that one memorized, I'm sure. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So we're individual pieces in this structure, but we've all got to get along. But we're different shapes, we're different sizes, but there's going to be this unifying peace to all this, and that unifying peace is love. That's the mortar that's going to allow us to line up each piece. You know, you go down and see some stone buildings that are just actually built from just random stones that don't even attempt to. It's amazing how they can make those into some structures that last a long time. So emphasis in that section was each of us should please his neighbor for his good and to build him up. So we want to build up the person, the other people that we're involved in this building with. That shows love. And accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Christ was perfect, but yet he accepts us, doesn't he? He came down to be a sacrifice so that we could be accepted by him. That means a lot to him, and it should mean a lot to us. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. If we're going to talk about love, we're going to have to bring this into play, aren't we? Because this really gives you the characteristics of love. And see how this helps bond us together as we look at just verses 4 through 7 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. That tells you all the things that could break this building apart, doesn't it? Those things can do that if we have those feelings towards those that we love. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes and always perseveres. There's the positives of it. Trust in each other. Hope. Now in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, it tells us more about this and more specifically how this can be used, love is used as in a building to tie us together. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So how can we be perfectly joined together when we're so different? It's because we have something that holds us together, don't we? And that's Christ Jesus. That's the part, that love of God is going to, in a common goal, is what joins us together. That's why everybody that's here is here, I'm sure. And that's what's causing the church universal as it meets all over to be joined together with that common bond. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5, gives us some more indications of how this mortar should work of love. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch out that you may not be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Everyone should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. We've got to help each other through this thing. That's why we're given the church. God knew that we would need the help of one another, even though he gave us Christ, he gave us his sacrifice, he gave us all that. But then he gave us the church right after that, didn't he? Because we need to help each other. And everybody carries a load. And sometimes you can't always tell what that load is or who's carrying that load. But don't pull one out, because sometimes they may fall. Have you ever played the game where they stack up all the two-by-fours and you try to pull out the one that won't make the big stack fall? And then one, you might take out one and you think, well, that one's not doing anything. And then all of a sudden you see the whole stack start to topple. If you've ever seen that game, you didn't know what I was talking about, but it's kind of fun. I kind of like that one. All it takes is a bunch of two-by-fours. 1 Thessalonians. So carry each other's burdens. On that, in summary of that one. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 14 through 16. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. And be joyful always. We're being joyful always. Doesn't that really help that bond together? The friendliness that you have, the love for one another. But be patient. Encourage each other. Encouragement is a whole nother lesson on its own, but we need to practice that. It doesn't matter how long you've been around or how strong you are in your faith. Encouragement is needed by all in whatever lot you are in life. Unless we all think we're perfect, James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, for that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It comes along with the humility, but we all know that we have problems. Let's share some of our weaknesses with those. Not publicly all the time to everybody, but if you have a problem, other people have had problems, share that with them. Let them know. They can help, and they can help guide you sometimes to the proper scriptures or with prayer or those things that are needed to help you get through those things. Because life is just not going to go free and smooth all the time. So we've got this building, and we're going to put it together with imperfect pieces, and we're going to fill it in with that mortar we call love. So that we're all going to bind together. But still, there's something else that's needed besides just that. Because you could just start building a building, and if I just looked and stacked one thing on top of another, and then I go, well, you know, this looks a little better right here. And then I like this one here. Pretty soon you've got the leaning tower here, and then it's going to fall over quickly. If that building isn't built straight. The other thing that's needed in this analogy is what I would call truth, or the plumb bob of truth. Plumb bob is a very, very simple device. Again, they built buildings, magnificent buildings, long before we had laser levels and all these kinds of things that we have now. And by the way, when they go out to a job site and do the initial setup for these laser systems, they use a fancy plumb bob. And that's how they get it started, because you can't get any better. Then this is gravity right here. So as you build those walls, you can take a string and a weight, and you can make sure that the wall is over the foundation. No matter how high up you are, you can make sure that where you're at is over the foundation. And the foundation we talked about before is right here. We know what truth is. We know the Bible is true. That we just need to make sure we're there. Well, how could we not do that? Well, it's easier than you think. Because in the world today, a lot of times we want to build on the person below us. The person right before us, that came before. And when I look at all the different religions and how they got to where they're at, it's an interesting study in itself. So many times, that's what has occurred, is they just say, that so-and-so did that. I had a lot of respect for him, so I'm going to do this and just maybe move this block over just a little bit. And pretty soon you're not over the foundation that was laid by the apostles and the prophets, are you? You're somewhere else. And I can say all the religions involved, but that can happen anywhere. It can happen here. It could happen at any group that worships together if they're not careful. We have a lot of respect for the pillars of the past that have come before us in the church. But that's not the truth. The truth is here. And we always need to evaluate where we're at here, according to the Bible. Some scriptures to emphasize this point. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 19. I'll read this section here. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that was already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. That's it. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day is coming that will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will testify the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Those last two verses are so important, aren't they? Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise, because the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. If we think it's a better idea, if we think maybe it should have been done some way different, and we proceed to do that, we'll end up where we shouldn't be because our wisdom is foolish. But if our wisdom that we have is to follow what God has laid out for us, then we will have a building that will endure. That'll be plumb. That'll be over its foundation. It will be solid. And it doesn't matter what comes along, but it's going to be solid, and it's going to be secure. The analogy of a building is certainly different than that of a body, but it tells us some slightly different way to look at how the church works. The church is built on the apostles, Christ and the apostles, not our forefathers, not our grandparents, not some group that was selected that lives in some other location that tells us what the truth should be. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's important that we always look as individuals that we're standing over the truth. Because we aren't saved by churches. We aren't saved by congregations. We aren't saved. We're saved individuals. Those are tools that God gave us. We should always work out our own salvation for fear and trembling. But we want to worship someplace where there is truth. And where their plumb bob always checks against the real foundation that we're built on. And that's Christ and the apostles. I see the wisdom of the Bible and how we follow it, and how the Church of Christ has autonomous bodies that make these decisions by the elders that lead the groups. It just, it's so less likely that these transitions occur, that you get far away from that, because we all agree what the foundation is. And without all these pulls of the world, we'll stay there. I see the wisdom of that more and more as I grow older. Continue to seek out our salvation with fear and trembling. Know what the truth is. Follow it. And love each other. Encourage one another. Make sure that even though we're all different, we've got something in common. God is love. He's the one that fills the gaps and makes things work. Not us, not our wisdom, none of those things. We'll have a final song of invitation here. If you haven't been part of a group like this, you just got to try it. Jesus Christ laid down a plan that was perfect. But you have to become part of the body to really understand what it can do for you. The first step is that your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're ready to do that, or if there's any other thing the group can do for you here, I'm sure they're more than willing to. And we ask you to make that known as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Sing all four verses and then the chorus, please. 606, all four verses, then the chorus.
Oh, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine heart in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and mend the heart of stone. Lord, nothing good I have, by thy grace to claim. I wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb, and wait before the throne. I stand in him complete. Jesus died.